Penguin Random House Audio presents Kill All Your Darlings by David Bell. Read for you by John Lindstrom. For Molly. In writing, you must kill all your darlings. William Faulkner. Part 1. Chapter 1. Connor. Present. Grendel doesn't bark when my key hits the lock. That's when I know something is wrong. Grendel, an 11-year-old beagle mix, still barks at the mailman, the neighbors, squirrels, cats, any strangers at all, despite his age and flagging energy. And I can count on him barking with joy when I come in the back door every evening. If not for him, I'd always be greeted by stone-cold silence. And that's what I hear tonight. I toss my keys onto the kitchen counter and slip my coat off. Grendel? Everything looks normal. Grendel's food bowl is nearly empty, which means he's eaten while I was out at the library. I usually manage to keep the kitchen clean, mainly because I don't cook. The appliances are here, and everything appears to be in order. But something feels wrong. Without Grendel's barking, the house seems unsettled. Off. A chill flash freezes up my spine. I feel like an intruder in my own home, like I've walked in on something. I move toward the front of the house, stepping carefully, the ancient floorboards squeak, each one sounding like a gunshot. Grendel typically spends his time on the couch when I'm gone. When he hears something outside, he likes to lift his head and look out the picture window. He lets out a series of barks that make him sound much more vicious than he really is, and, once that's out of his system, he flops back down as though he's just run 20 miles. By now I should hear his collar jingling, his nails on the hardwood. He's an old dog, I tell myself. Old dogs don't live forever. Grendel? When I reach the entrance to the living room, I freeze in place. Everything is where it's supposed to be. The lamp I always leave on is on. The furniture is arranged the way it's been arranged for years. Nothing is disturbed. Nothing is broken. And Grendel sits on the floor, his tail flopping back and forth when he sees me. Everything is where it's supposed to be, except that someone is sitting in the recliner, legs crossed, hand gently scratching Grendel between the ears. Hello, she says. My mind is slower than my body. My body reacts instantly. My muscles tense. My hands clench. My knees bend into a defensive crouch, and adrenaline shoots through me like rocket fuel. But my mind is still trying to make sense of this scene before me. A young woman with long hair dyed an unnatural shade of red sits in my recliner petting my dog. And she greets me like she's supposed to be there, like I've asked her to wait for me to come home this evening. She wears a red coat, black jeans, and heavy boots, and her face is mostly obscured by large, owl-like glasses. Who the hell are you? You need to get out of here. The woman lifts her hand from Grendel's head and holds it up, cutting off my words. Grendel bounds over, sniffs my shoes. He would have barked when she first came in, but he always barks the first time he meets someone. Then he gets used to them. He looks happy to see me. You know who I am, Connor, she says, and once you remember who I am, I think you're going to know why I'm here. I don't know who you are, I say. But I am going to call the police if you don't get out. If you didn't take anything and didn't hurt my dog, you can just leave, and I won't press charges. She ignores my threat. With a slow theatricality, she lifts the glasses off her face and folds them, placing them carefully in her lap. She blinks a couple of times, but remains quiet. If you want food, you can take it. Or money, I'll give it to you. But you have to go.
Connor.
And then I finally see it. Her face is suddenly familiar. The eyes are bright blue. The shape of her face, thinner, much thinner, but recognizable. She must realize that I'm starting to really see her, because she smiles knowingly, like a chess master who has just outfoxed a lesser opponent. No, I say. No, you're not supposed to... I mean, you're supposed to be... She lifts her eyebrows.
You mean, I'm supposed to be dead? Is that it? I'm supposed to be dead.
Not dead, I say, my voice lower. Not exactly dead. But she's nodding.
Oh, yes, I'm supposed to be dead. I'm supposed to be written off, forgotten, erased, tossed in a ditch or a river or a forest, my bones scattered to the winds and slowly returning to the earth, dust to dust and all that. Isn't that where I'm supposed to be?
Yes, I say. That's what we all thought. I'm glad that's not true, but I'm... This is all very disconcerting. You're here. She leans forward and reaches behind her. She brings out a familiar-looking object and holds it up between us. She looks like she's on television, presenting something to the viewing audience.
Isn't this what we need to talk about, Connor?
It's my book. The book that was published today by a major New York publisher. The one I was at the library reading from and signing. The one that represents a dream come true for me. I don't answer her question. I come all the way into the room and sit on the couch across from Madeline O'Brien. I sit across from my former student, the young woman who disappeared almost 2 years ago, just months before she was supposed to graduate. Chapter 2. Madeline, are you okay? I ask. Are you hurt? Do you need me to call someone? My God, does your mother know you're okay? Do the police? She turns the book around and studies the front. She runs her hand over the cover in a small circle, her skin against the paper making a rustling noise.
We can discuss all that in a minute. I want to talk about this book first.
How can we talk about anything except why and how you're here? People have been looking for you. They're worried about you. This is all a shock.
All in good time.
Grendel has come back into the room, and he yawns and stretches out by my feet. He's already bored by the rare appearance of a visitor in the house.
My best friend's murder, she says. That's a great title. Did you think of it yourself, or did the publisher come up with it?
It's my title.
I remember you saying in class once that most writers don't get to use the titles they want. The publisher always rejects them or changes them. So good on you getting this one in.
Do the police know you're here? Alive?
I've been following this, she says, tapping the book. Just because I was gone doesn't mean I didn't know what everyone in Gatewood was doing. If you can get to a computer, you can visit social media. I could keep track of my friends and family. What's left of them? You? Other professors? You sure posted about this a lot on social media. Almost every day for the last 6 months. You must really want this book to sell. You used to tell us not to spend our time online, that social media is ruining us. I guess that all changes when you have a book coming out and you want to pimp it.
That's part of a writer's job, I say. Like any teacher, I hate having my own words used against me.
I guess so. Social media can be used for a lot of things. Promoting books, searching for missing people.
When she speaks and gestures, I see the Madeline I once knew. One of my best undergraduate students. Bright, talented, elusive.
She talked a lot in class and wrote raw, vivid stories about...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?